Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are and where we come from. So who are you and where did you come from?
So my name is Grace. Sorry, I'm going to start laughing. And I'm originally from Ringsend, grew up in Glasnevin and Finglas, and now I live in Carpenterstown. Castleknock.
That's because I wonder where Carpenterstown was, because I didn't know where it was.
If I'm being posh, I'll say Castleknock, but it's really Carpenterstown. But
So I could just leave you hanging there and you'll kill me.
Yeah, because I'm a podcast version, so
you're
be nice to me, and I'm very nervous at the moment. So.
No, you'll be fine. You're a podcast version, but you're not an Instagram version, because that's where I found you first and foremost, was your sarcasm, your humour.
Yeah,
I find you very funny.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah, as a lot of people that follow you find you quite funny, because you're just no bullshit, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just don't take myself too seriously, like, you know, and I just kind of probably take the mickey a little bit, but yeah,
you know. Out of all different things. And the thing is that I love about you as well, is, and the reason why you're here, because I just have a little bit of a fascination with it, is that your job.
I know, you wouldn't put up with my personality.
Yeah.
And when people think of what I do, they think they have a certain image in their mind, and I suppose I'm probably not it. Although all that's changed now, like, you know. So I just say what I am.
Yeah.
This sounds like a big reveal.
It's so, like, tonight, Matthew.
tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be a funeral director.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I work in a funeral home. I work in Stafford's funeral home. And it would have been a more male dominated kind of career, but now there's more women, and we're not all, you know, standing around like miserable looking in long black coats. Like, we do actually have a sense of humor, and yeah.
But it did, like, because I remember I was in town and I seen a woman, and that was she was the very first woman, and it was only recent, like, was it my auntie's funeral? Yeah, I think it was my auntie's funeral, and it was the first time I seen a woman, and I was like, oh my God, isn't it a Grace? I was like, because you're the only one.
There was plenty of women before me. I haven't, like,
you're not the pioneer of it,
no. But I suppose there's more and more, like, in our company now, it's probably nearly 50-50 male and female. Yeah,
really?
yeah. So, and, like, it doesn't surprise me. Like, I think women make great funerals. Nothing against the men, like, but I do think women just have that natural kind of...
Why do you think it was men originally?
I don't know. I suppose maybe it's something to do with all the heavy lifting and, you know, and I suppose going back, like, it would have been all, you know, it was in the family, it ran in the family, so it'd be passed down to the children and that. But now it's more like you don't have to be... You know, your parent doesn't have to be a funeral director, or it doesn't have to be in the family. You can, you know, if you want to be a funeral director, you can just be a funeral director.
Do you have to go to college
No, not for where I work now. The training was brilliant. Like, Jesus, I've never had training like it before in any other job that I've worked for. And I think that's the best way of learning. Now, there is a lot. There's a lot to take in. But, yeah, once... You don't have to go to college for it, like.
And then talk to me about, like, because it does take a certain person to become a funeral director. Because I think if I did a podcast for me, sometimes is bad enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I would be down inside Stafford's every day, born in Sage, like, you know, putting it everywhere and being like, blessed with something, taking
it. Because if you'd be scared, is it? Or
yeah, but also, like, yeah, yeah, but cleansing yourself of the stories, you know, like, of the, that person, and you know what I mean? Like, that you're like, you're not taking them home with you, like, mentally and,
oh,
you know,
as in, like, it could be draining. And yeah, well, you do have to try and leave it, like, at work. And when you come home, and, like, I am very good at kind of doing that. So, you know, when I go home, I'm not thinking about work. Well, I try not to. I mean, you're going to come across certain, you know, deaths or circumstances that will kind of stay with you. Like, I mean, if it was a young child or something like that, you're not just going to go home, forget about it. And I was going to say, especially if you have children yourself, but I don't think you need to have children to be, you know, to feel that way. But you just have to try and not, you know, and to be honest, like, when you're meeting with a family, you know, you're hearing their stories and you're really getting to know the person that they've come in to arrange a funeral for. But then behind the scenes, there's an awful lot of stuff that needs to be done. So it's not like, the, you know, the family leave and then you're just sitting there with your thoughts for the rest of the day. Yeah. You know, there's an awful lot of work that goes on behind the scenes of being a funeral director and arranging a funeral that a lot of people don't see.
Yeah.
So what most people see is the day of the funeral. Yeah. But like a lot of, you know, there's a lot of steps that need, there's a lot of paperwork, a lot of paperwork that needs to be signed, all that kind of stuff. So, and that's why I know you were laughing when we had we decided to set up a social media page, which I know is it's a really strange thing to do for a funeral director, but with the way things are going, it's just the way the world is going now. And we're not the only, like, there's other funeral directors have social media pages, and like, I suppose the difference is that we're not trying, like, a lot of people set up social media, they're trying to push a product, or they're you know, they're setting up their own business, and that's great. It's, you know, but for us, it was really like, it's a well-established place, so it was just to try and show people, you know, what goes on in a funeral home or what we do. I think a lot of people have this kind of, like, I mean, even when I was younger, I remember I'd be walking home from school, walking past the funeral directors in the, I think it was Finglas Village, and I used to be looking in the window going, I wonder what goes on in there. Everyone has this kind of like, oh, do you know, but we're actually a really nice, friendly bunch of people.
Yeah. I remember and, a story, you know, that it was my nanny's birthday, and I walked past this funeral home, like, and I'll say Stafford's just for the podcast, I walked past the funeral home, and I said to her, I got down, it was her birthday, and I didn't realise her birthday, and I said, I was walking past up the road here, I said, I was going to get you flowers, and she was like, in Stafford's, and I was like, oh my God. But it was the same thing, because like, it's like, it is like, when you look past, it's a dominant building, like, you know what I mean? It is like when you're walking past a funeral home, and like, you know, the big black gates or the big grey building or whatever.
When you're inside, like, now it's not like that. Like, even, it's funny because we have a Stafford's out, and like, there's a few different ones, but there's one out in Ballyfermot, and right next door to it is a coffee shop.
Right.
And sometimes you'll see people, they're just talking and they're walking by our doors. They'll open the doors. They're meant to be going into the coffee shop. And sometimes you will hear, and then, oh, Jesus, no, quick. That's like, it's like this whole, but like, if you actually go into the Staffords and Ballyfermot, it's absolutely, it's really bright, it's gorgeous, like, it's absolutely fabulous, like, huge, big place. So it's not like, I suppose the idea that you'd have years ago of like this dark room, dark curtains, and everyone, you know, is walking around like really sad looking, you know, but it's, things are changing, I suppose, and
Can I ask you about, first of all, the social media? I mean, go through the process, because I really want to know about the process, and I know a lot of people do. And even I said to my mother-in-law tonight that you were coming, she was like, that's so interesting. She's like, don't forget to ask about urns and all this. And I was like, I will. And then, as I said to you, Alan Hughes was like, oh God, he was like, ask her about these coffins and all. I was like, no, I will ask her about these.
But I love that, though. People are afraid to talk about anything like that, and it's gas, because going to happen to everybody. It should be something that people talk about openly. I know it's probably comes easier for someone like me, but I mean, it is something that's going to happen to everyone. No one will escape it, like, and it is something that we should all probably think about. And is it not better to be thinking about it when you're fit and healthy and feeling okay? You don't want to be thinking about it when you're sick or, you know what I mean? It's probably worse. Yeah, but people just don't want to.
They don't, yeah.
Like even my own family, I sometimes forget and I'd be sitting around, you know, be in my sister's house, whatever, and I'd start talking about like that and urine or something. Oh, Jesus Christ, what, will you stop? Like, you know?
Do you have like favourites? Like your favourite urn, you'd be like, no, that's massive.
Oh, yeah, sometimes they'd be looking and I'd say, oh, that's lovely. Or the coffins, you know, I'd be going, that'd be what I'd choose. So, yeah. But to me, that's just like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't frighten me. Or, you know, a lot of the times people would be leaving after a proposal and they might say, like, are you here on your own?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. And are you not scared?
Yeah.
Just like, but I think that's movies and horror movies, you know, like that kind of thing. But it's actually, it's probably one of the most peaceful places you can be in, and it's,
pull that in a little bit,
you know. Sorry, you know right. I wasn't used to this now. Mm-hmm. It's
peaceful.
It's peaceful and it's not scary at all. And and I suppose with the social media page, it's just trying to like.
Yeah, so talk to me about
hard
that.
Hard to like.
Who's like? Did the boss come to you? Did you go to the boss?
No,
and go,
he didn't.
Like, how does that happen?
So, no, he didn't. Now, Jonathan wouldn't be into social media now, you know. It'd be like a lot of men just social media. But it was one of the other managers had kind of mentioned it. He was saying, you know, we kind of need to move with the times. Like, you know, the way everything becomes computerized or, you know, you just have to, even though sometimes it's hard. And like, it is awkward because, I mean, like a funeral home, I mean, the things that grab people's attention online is humor, controversy, you know, stuff like that. But these are a lot of things you can't really.
They can't go just coughing in the
no,
week.
No, and like in all fairness, who wants to be scrolling through their feed and then something about funeral home comes up?
Yeah.
Like even when I was asking some of my friends, it's like, will you give that page a follow? Oh God, are you serious? Like, you know? And that's why, you know, trying not to make it too morbid and, you know.
It has to be light. You have to make it light, like, you know.
Yeah. Like being a funeral deck, you can't be walking around. You have to kind of have a lighter side, and you know, and even to be honest, like a lot of families would come in to us, and for some of them, you know, like for some of them it is very upset. Well, for all of them it's very upsetting, but you might have a family where the person has lived a really long full life and they're, it's more celebrating the life of the person. And you know, sometimes you'd be surprised, you'd be walking by the room that the family are in and you'd hear everybody laughing, and you know what I mean. So it's.
So talk to me, Dan, like, what happens, right? So say, God forbid, somebody dies, belong to me, right?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
So I suppose if say, God forbid, someone in your family died, they're in the hospital, what you do is you'd ring your, well, you can ring your local funeral home, the nearest funeral home. You can ring Staffers. you know, whatever, whoever you want to ring. And then we'll just take the information from you, and then we basically take over from there. Now, when I say take over, I don't mean we, like, you have no say. You tell us what you want to do, and then we'll just take over. So we would contact the place that they passed away, and whether that be the hospital, if they passed away home, we'd contact the doctor would have already been and gone, because someone obviously has to pronounce the death. Sometimes we may need to get in touch with the doctor ourselves, and we would do that. We'd get in touch with the church if you want to have a church service, or you might just want to have a service in the funeral home, or we'd contact the crematorium, we'd look after the flowers. So we basically, we'd get some information from you, and then we'd normally get the family to come in and we'd go through all of the arrangements. So we just ask you what you want and then we take over, because you're not going to be in the right frame of mind. Mm-hmm. Like no one nowadays likes making phone calls anyway. Never mind. Know. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we just do all of that for you. And so basically you just have to show up then, for, you know, if you want a proposal or.
And do you like take them, like, because this is like, was it? So, yeah, it was when my aunt died. We were in the funeral home and we were like, no, do they come and take her? Like, so do you come and take her? Does the morgue come and take? Like, how does it work like that?
So we would, the appointed funeral director.
Yeah.
So if it was the hospital, we have to wait for clearance from the hospital first before we can remove anyone from their place. So we have to wait in clearance from a doctor. Sometimes the coroner might be involved. You know, if someone dies in a nursing home. And once we get the clearance and once we have permission from the family, then we will go and remove them from the place of death and then take them into our care then. And then...
And you were saying to me earlier on about, like, the grant stuff, because I know this is, like, a really very different podcast to what we
I know, do. God, you're probably going to lose loads of listeners.
Not at all. But I just, because I'm just so fascinated by it.
Yeah, well,
and
just
I'm sure
ask me,
are.
If I can answer, obviously, like know, I have to, you know.
Like, so then, like, how much does a funeral cost? Like, because my ma hasn't got herself insured for that much, and I told her she's getting a pauper's funeral at me. No, because the townies, they have the dinners, they have the big parties, and I was like, ma, I'm not paying for your funeral, I don't care.
So you don't have to be, like, it depends what kind of funeral you want to have. Like, you can get a funeral for as cheap as 2,000, or I should say as cheap, as little as 2,000. Mm. You can spend up to 20 grand if you want, you know. It's like, there's certain things you don't need to go for. Like, I mean... You know, you don't have to have, like, you would need a hearse, but you don't have to have limousines. You don't have to have flowers. You can have a very small arrangement. You know, like, there's loads of the coffin you can, we have lovely coffins that are quite basic. You don't have to go for really extravagant coffins. Like, it's completely, I mean, you just have to use your common sense, really, you know. But you don't have to. You can have, like, you know, simple funeral. It depends. You know.
And then talk to me about the cremation. Like, is cremation really popular now?
It is. I suppose, like, a lot of people would go for... See, if you're going for burial, if you have an existing grave, you just have to pay for the opening of that grave. Mm. If you don't have an existing grave, to buy a new plot can be considered kind of expensive. It depends where you're buying the grave. Cremation would have been considered...
The grave, do you... Would you, if I say to you, I want a grave, do you go find a grave or do I find a grave?
Well, you just tell us where... So what cemetery you'd like to go with. Now, some cemeteries, you can't purchase a new grave. Some cemeteries, you would have to be in... Live in that area or have family that are already buried there. A lot of them, there's no problem at all. So Balgriffin, you could get Balgriffin Extension, you can get a new grave there. Or in Dardistown, or so Balgriffin is quite, like, I mean, for, I think at the moment, a new grave there is 2,636 euro, or something to be exact.
My
but if you had already had a grave there, you're paying, it's 942 euros, something like that, just to open the grave. So
my mother-in-law had a grave in Balgriffin and sold it, I think, about 15 years ago. She got a fortune for it.
Now, I think with some, well, it did happen. I don't know whether it was a Palmerstown. It was a good while ago. Someone was inquiring. They'd purchased a grave a long, long time ago and they were considering selling it, but they were told that the cemetery would only buy it back off them for the price that they paid, which was at the time very, very little. So, yeah. So with cremation, I suppose, you know, for a cremation in, say, Glasnevin, Dardistown or Newlands is 780 euro. But then if you're going to inter the ashes, which is you can put the ashes into a wall or into a grave, then you're going to be paying extra for that anyway.
Right.
But if you're going to keep them at home or scatter them, then that would be the least expensive
option. So with the cremation... You still have to have a coffin,
Yes.
I know that's a stupid question.
No,
but like,
it's not at all. And everyone asks us that. You know, all the families, most of them, when they're in choosing the coffin, they'll say, this is a stupid question, but do they stay in the coffin? That is one of the most popular questions we get asked. And you do. You go into the coffin, and once the coffin, you know, obviously a coffin might remain open for a reposal if that's something you're having. Mm. And then obviously before it goes to the church or before you have a service, that coffin will be closed and that stays closed. It's not opened again for health and safety reasons. And then that would go into the cremation chamber. Yeah. Now, in some, I don't know, like probably other countries, there's probably cultures where they don't, like, I don't know.
And is it true, like, you know, stupid question time, but is it true, like, that they're like, that mightn't even be your ma or your dad. I should start saying that because I don't think your ma's going to die anytime soon. Like, you know, but like people.
No, that's another crap. People are like, how do you know if like they're not mixed in with? So how do we know that's their ashes? So you can only fit one coffin at a time in the cremation chamber, and the process takes a couple of hours. It's like an extreme heat, so they can't be mixed in. So really, the, you know, like, I don't, I'm always afraid to say too much in case someone's listening and they're like, oh, I don't know that. But like, basically you can't, it's not possible to be mixed in with anyone else's ashes. The ashes that you get, and they're all from the time they go into the cremation chamber to the time that the it's finished and it goes into the ashes, there is like an identity tag that's on it. So you can't be mixed with anyone else's ashes. So the ashes you get are your loved one's ashes. Because I know a lot of people.
Yeah. Would be, because that's what, like, you know, you hear those horror stories and that's something that you're really...
Yeah, like, and that's... And, like, obviously I can only say it from Ireland's point of view. I don't know what happens in other countries, but, like, this is the thing. It's like anything online. Like, someone, one person will say, oh, well, you know, my uncle Paddy was talking to Mick, and Mick's brother, he used to be a grave digger, and he said that, you know, and that's all it takes. And then before you know it, it grows legs, and then, you know, and you're like, can we... find who Paddy and Mick are and find out if that's if that actually happened. But like, do you know what I mean? I know, like, it's it's like, do you know the Wimson says, do you know what I heard?
Yeah.
Like where you were, you know, people be saying probably stuff about the cruise ships, like, oh well, I heard what they actually do with that food is. Like, you know, and you're probably going, no, they don't. So it's all very above board. And
so two and a half say to open a grave, a new grave. If you don't see, my man's definitely getting a pauper's funeral.
Now, that would be in Balgriff. The likes of Dardis Town, I think it's 4,200. Now, I'm trying to remember exactly, but it's about 4,200 for Dardis Town. That would be, see, some of them are four burial, some are three burial. Then Glasnevin, you actually go down. A lot of them are, like, some, they're called gone over graves. Or the,
what's that mean?
So there'd be somebody, like my dad, we got a new grave in Glasnevin, but if you actually look at the records, like, there's people that were buried there in the 1800s that we don't know. But that's just the way.
Okay.
To sink down. And yeah. Rebecca's looking at me.
Like that you could be going to say hello to someone. And like, can I ask you, what would you want?
Do you know what? It's terrible. I keep changing my mind. I think, to be honest, like, I suppose, like, I always say to my family and my husband, like, please just don't spend a fortune on me, do you know? Mm. But then in saying that, I know if I knew that something was going to happen, I'd probably change my mind. I don't know. I don't mind. Like, I don't, it doesn't really bother me. I just think when I'm gone, I'm gone. And it's like, what, I don't know. Some people have a fear. You know, you hear people saying, oh,
I don't want to be cremated.
Because they're afraid they'll wake up. But like, you know, there's a, I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, if you get through the embalming process and all that, you're definitely, and you wake up then.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's definitely not going to happen, I can tell you. But then I suppose some people don't want to be buried. They're afraid of being buried because, you know, you hear people going, oh, what if you were buried alive? And all, like, you know. But.
And then, like, what kind of, and I'll come back to it, like, what kind of atmosphere is there in your job? Like, are you as great crack? Do you get on? Like, and I used, like, just have parties and everything.
I get on with most of them. Yeah. And, but to be honest, though, like, a lot of the times you're in a funeral home on your, so depending on, you know, whatever branch you're in, like, I could be in Stafford's out in Portmarnock, I'd be on my own that day. There wouldn't always be somebody there with me. Now, you'd have a lot of, some of the drivers would be coming in and out, but a lot of the times you'd be on your own. So when you're talking to the other, your colleagues, it'd be on the phone. You know, you might ring them in another branch and have a chat, whatever. But most of us have a good sense of humour, and you kind of have to, because, I don't know, I don't think, otherwise you'd be miserable all the time. Because you're dealing, like, when you're dealing, when you're arranging a funeral, obviously you have to be very sensitive, very compassionate. Sometimes, you know, if you're having a day where it's really busy, you might be a bit draining, you know, because you're taking an awful lot of their grief on as well, you know. And so I think then once you switch off and you go home, you just have to, that's why I watch stupid reality TV. Mm. My husband's like, what are you watching that for? And I'm like, because it's just good to switch off, you know. And so it's not for, I suppose it's not a job for everyone, but.
Yeah, and because that's why you'd be just,
I mean, when I tell people, it's like, how do you clear a room? Tell them you're a funeral director. You know, people are just like, ooh, you know. And most of the time, like, if I meet someone for the first time, say a friend, and go, tell them what you do. It's always like, tell them what you do. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I work in a funeral home. Ah, stop your messing. They always think you're joking.
Yeah.
Or like they think it's weird or, you know, but. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you wouldn't have thought you were a funeral director when they get to know you then. Like,
because so. That's what I'm saying. Like, I know, like, it's usually a man thing, but you don't look like funeral director. Do you know what I mean? Like, the yeah. woman that I see, and like, and maybe if you were, like, do you go out and do all that? Like, or what, like, literally some people go out, and like, this lady was in a suit, and she was like. She
oh, yeah, like, no, I'd wear a suit, like, we yeah. had a Stafford suit, and. Mm. Yeah, and I wouldn't be out on funerals that much. The yeah. odd one, or like sometimes if it's a like someone I know, I'd go out on the funeral. But yeah, I'd have to wear the suit, and yeah. you know.
But she was like she looked a little bit like Mr. Trunchbull, like you know, like she.
Well, I don't know. God. Maybe I'm gonna look like that when I'm old.
Yeah, and I was like, God, she's a real like you know, just because the way the men always look, real, yeah. and I was like, I couldn't imagine you like.
Oh, like, no, I'd have me in. I have to have my hair done, my nails done, my makeup on. Like, you know, I, yeah.
Like, if I walked into a funeral home, I'd love to see your face. Because I'd feel a bit comfortable. Like,
ah, Rebecca.
Like, no, because I'm like, oh, look, oh, she looks real nice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I try. Like, I mean, Jesus, save me. Husband's listening to this now. He'd be going, sorry, what? You want to see her face at yeah, home? Yeah. Yeah, but like what family wants to, it's like, you know, people are be like, would you be crying with the families? And I'm like, no, of course not. Like no family wants to come in and see someone who looks miserable, sad.
Yeah.
And who's crying with them. No yeah. family wants that. So, you know, I try and have a smile on my face, obviously not when they're telling me about how someone passed away. And I try and be, I suppose the way I see it is like, I would imagine, because I remember when, so my dad passed away 10 years ago before I was a funeral director. And I remember we were in the hospital and we were like, what do we do now? I remember we were put into the family room and the nurse said, just need to arrange the funeral. And we were like, how do we do? What do we do? Hadn't a clue. Because it's a real Irish thing. Nobody talks about it until the thing happens. And then it's all like, you know, then we walked, I remember we just walked into a funeral director's and we hadn't a clue what to do. And that's, I suppose, the way I feel, like people would be probably overwhelmed and it's a little bit daunting. And then as well as that, if you've never organised a funeral before and then the thoughts of walking, you know, like walking into yeah. a funeral home. And so that's, I really just, from the first call, and from the time they come in, I usually would just say, you know, sit down and make yourself comfortable and don't worry, I'm going to talk you through everything. And usually by the end of it, they're all, you can see people are a little bit tense yeah. at first. And that's the thing. A lot of the times there will be a lot of tension within a family as yeah. well, because like, I suppose they're not eating properly. They're tired. They've been crying. On a normal day, you'd be, you know.
Yeah, of course.
So I just have to take all of that into consideration and then I just hope that I make them feel comfortable. That's my main thing. And then usually by the end of it, they're relaxed. And as I said, sometimes they'll have a little joke and they've kind of, yeah. you know. And then it's gas because sometimes a lot of families, like they'd start laughing about something. And the first thing they do straight after is what? They apologise for laughing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry. Like, they're apologising. They feel bad for laughing yeah. because someone has just died. But, like, that's just normal. You know what I mean? You can't be... You need a little bit of humour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like...
Like, so, I think when I was...
Sorry, now, I feel like I'm being really bored.
No, you're not. This is what I...
Poor Rebecca's like that.
No, this is exactly what I want to hear. Like, and, you know, like, and we try and keep it as, you know...
Yeah, like, ask me anything. And obviously, I just have to be mindful of, yeah. I don't know, you know, if someone is listening to this who has recently lost someone, I don't want to upset yeah. anybody. And it's just to try and make everyone... I don't know, like, there's just the hush-hush behind, you know, what a funeral director does, and, yeah, I just...
But as you said, it's such a tense time, there could be, you know, high tension between the family, you know, daughters losing mothers losing yeah. children, and all they want is a friendly face or someone who can, like, my friend
passed... Sometimes you nearly feel like a mediator yeah. as well, like,
yeah,
you're,
that's
and,
right, yeah.
like, most families get along, but even the ones that get along... There's still going to be tension because especially if you have a few, you know, if this is the second parent to die, and say there's five siblings, mm-hmm. you're all going to want different things. That's why it's always a good idea if the person has said, this is what I want. It's easier if they come in knowing, like, you know, and it's sometimes, you know, a family would come in and say, she knew exactly what she wants. Sorry now, but she knows exactly what she wants. And I'm like, great, because and I do try and say to a family, like, just think of what is it that they wanted. Because I know I'd probably have a different opinion to my sister or, you know, my brother.
And that's what, like, my friend Natalie, like, she said to me, we're here, like, and she'd be actually dying now. Like, she'd I wouldn't be surprised if I didn't tell her you were here, because she'd be up beside you.
Invited her.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know, she's mad. But she said to me, like, because we were slagging, and I was saying, me ma, like, in a few bob.
Is this the girl that had decorated the room? Oh, I remember listening to that one.
And I'll talk about that as well. Like, but she was like to me, but what's your ma want, Rebecca? And I was like, no, God, lads, my ma's not dying. Like, my ma's not dying. Like, you know, she'll be in Northside tomorrow. You'll be grand. But, like, she, like, people, like, what does she want? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, have you ever asked her? And, like, Paul's sister would be like, you know, oh, we paid this. Ma listened to this song for everyone. And his ma's like, I know exactly. I want hymns. Don't play. And I think there should be an open and honest conversation.
Yeah.
Of what you actually want for funerals.
Yeah. But probably, yeah, everyone should probably write down what they want. Now, obviously, in 20 years' time, that might change, so you can, you know, update it or whatever. We update everything else. There's so many, I'm sure there's now some kind of venting app for...
Yeah, you had to do that.
Damn, I
shouldn't have said that, girl. I'll edit that out now.
Rebecca's taking notes. But, you know, everyone's journaling now, but, like, I'd say if you ask them to write down their thoughts, don't talk about that. It's a really don't talk. It's an Irish thing as well. I don't know if other countries are like that, you know. Probably in America they're not. They like to talk about everything.
And then, like, you know, when it comes to, like, when my friend died, like, I found that funeral director to be absolutely amazing, because it's like, she is a young widow now, and he was brilliant, and he just made sure that she was okay, like, she was the priority.
And you would find that a lot of people would be focusing on things like, what are we going to do for food after? But what if people can't get out of work for this? What if? And I'm always saying to families, stop worrying about other people. Other people are there for you. And they don't care about, I know you want them to have refreshments afterwards, but stop fretting over that. Like, you know, just to make sure you're okay. But I suppose people just want it to look nice and it to go well. But it's a lot of pressure on the family. Like, when you actually think about it, other people should be the ones organising refreshments. And I suppose in a lot of families they do. Yeah, I mean, I think a decent person, if you're going to a funeral, that's the last thing you're thinking about. You just want to pay your respects and...
Everyone,
but then sure, you'll always get someone.
Everyone's a super have, sandwich.
That'd be my man.
Yeah.
They didn't have any ham sandwiches.
But people are like, and this is the thing, like, I think it's just the Irish in us, like, because when my aunt died...
It is, they definitely, we're a strange bunch, yeah.
As Lisa says, my friend Lisa Wallace says, there's nothing stranger than folk, like, there's nothing queer than folk. Like, we're so strange. Like, the army, because did a feud for horse, and he was like, did you see them sandwiches? Them sandwiches were something else, weren't they? There was every type of sandwich going.
And
I'm like...
What about the rest of the day?
Yeah, I'm like, your sister's just died now, but them sandwiches were something else.
Yeah, or I wouldn't have liked those flowers now. I wouldn't have been into those flowers now. I thought they were a bit, you know, people are always commenting, like, we're very judgmental, like, yeah.
Do you know, like, so there's one thing, and I'll ask you as well, like, so I said to Paul, if I die young, especially, like, as in, I was like, I need a PA system in that church. I need... Everyone, there's nothing worse than, and everyone's going, oh God. And someone's going, what do you say? Yeah. When you're giving a eulogy, lads, just a piece of advice, the back of the church can't hear you. And I was like, well, get a PA system and get that out there.
Do you know, I think though, a lot of people, like, I'll do the eulogy. And I think once they step up on that altar and everyone's just like, all of a sudden everyone's staring at them, I just think, like, you know, I know I'd be petrified. I'm not a public speaker. Like, even I told when I came here, I was like, oh, my heart's beating so fast. So I think people just mumble.
Yeah.
Do you know, you're not used to projecting your voice, and it's just not something that you're used to.
But it's shot like, because you want to hear those stories.
Yeah.
And then when someone's mumbling and like...
It's like the pilot on the plane watching.
Yeah, and you're like... and then everyone's gone.
Yeah.
God. And I'm like... I have no clue. So I said to Paul, seriously. Because I'm...
What did he say?
What did he say?
Because everyone's laughing and you feel like you've missed out on the joke.
Like, what was the joke? I would probably end up in Prizewood Church. And like in Prizewood Church, it's a big old church.
Yeah.
And like that, I was like, Paul, if I die, you get it. And I rang, he said to me, do you think...
But Paul might not be able... See, the thing is that he'd be too sad to maybe... Because you think you'll be okay. Like I remember my friend's... God, I hope she won't want me saying this. I won't say her name, but her husband died... He was diagnosed with cancer and like within, I think it was 3 months, he was 43
God.
When it happened. And I, as far as I can remember, she got up to speak and I remember thinking, because they've two young kids, I was thinking, she was absolutely amazing, but I don't think I would be, I think it would just, the emotion would get to me. And I think that's probably what happens. And you do see sometimes people have to step in and finish.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what happens. They're just...
Because that's what I said.
And they're shy. They're probably a bit shy as well. And they're, not, you know. Because sometimes you see the priest coming over and fixing the mic for them.
But
yeah.
I'd be the person in the room going, no, he's not doing it. No, he's not doing it. Like, Paul said to me, do you think I'd be thinking about it? And I was like, yeah, no. So now I had to ring a few of my friends.
I'll make sure, Paul. Yeah, please. I will.
Yeah, because I rang a few friends. I was like, look, he can't do the eulogy. Someone else is going to have to
do it.
Yeah. And I was like, but you have to be clear. Like, I want that back in the room crying. Like, I want everyone crying.
Did you not get what your friend Alan? He's on TV, so he would know what to do. You get someone who's used to doing it.
I was like, I'd have to do it because there's nothing worse than like, you know, when you, I love a good eulogy, I have to say.
Yeah, it's nice to hear
a
bit about the... To be honest, like, it's a pity there's not more of that during a mass service. Like, it's a pity it's always kind of only like a few minutes long towards the end. Like, because really it is the person's last time.
Yeah.
It's a goodbye and... Yeah, it's a pity there's not a bit more, kind of.
And I don't want to talk too much about priests, but I can imagine, like, there is, priests can be sometimes, like for example, in private church.
I have to be very careful.
I know. They don't, she did warn
or
me before.
Or I'll be applying for a job on that cruise ship.
But the priests don't, like, allow you to, they only allowed hymns or, like, I do think it should be more of a celebration.
Yeah, now some, it depends on the church and it depends, like, some priests are kind of more lenient and, you know, they're very... Like, you know, whatever the family want, which is great, like, and probably the way it should be. And then others are probably a little bit more old school, and which is, I mean, for a funeral, maybe they should be a bit, I don't know, you know. But that's what I suppose some people, you have the option now of having a service in, like, the Staffords out in Ballyfermot is huge, and we do a lot of services there now, and, you know, we can get a celebrant for you, and the whole thing is more or less.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Yeah. So the celebrant would go through, would organise everything, but you can have any kind of music played, like their favourite songs. Actually, if you go to the church and you go to the crematorium afterwards, it's usually then a 20-minute service in the crematorium in the chapel in wherever it may be, Dardistown or Mount Jerome, wherever. And you can have a song played at the beginning and a song played at the end of the service, and it can be any kind of music at all. Like, it doesn't have to. And some people like that because for the church, they've been restricted to religious hymns. Now, some churches allow the odd song within.
Do you have to have the priest at the crematorium?
Well, they would usually go, or someone from the funeral team in the church would go, but it's usually the priest that would go. But you don't have to. Like, I mean, if a member of the family said, look, I want to be the one to, well, that's fine. Like, yeah, to be honest, they'd probably be delighted that they wouldn't have to travel to the crematorium. But like, yeah, so you could always do. But you'd be surprised. 20 minutes can be quite long to try and fill, to speak about somebody and, you know.
Go back to Ballyfermot. So, like, if you wanted to have, like, a ceremony there, can you have a ceremony there and then go straight?
Yeah, so at the moment, you could have a service there and then, you know, you could have an hour-long service or 40 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever, and then go to the crematorium. We're hoping to... you know, have a thing where you can have the service there and then you can, you don't have to then go to the crematorium. Like, we will look after everything afterwards. You can do the whole lot in the funeral home. There is going to be a Staffords in Coolock soon.
Well, good.
Hopefully, where the they took over the old Tato factory.
Oh yeah.
That's going to be absolutely huge.
Yeah,
and we're hoping to have a crematorium and the whole thing, so you could have the whole lot done.
That'd be incredible. Yeah. Because I think it is. It's a lot of, you know, it's a drain, like, to do all that travelling. And if you can do it one place, and God, yeah, do you know what? And people know from the podcast, because I say it all the time, that I am very religious. So I would, of course, like to have, like, a religious ceremony. But I think...
But you could have a kind of a religious ceremony in the... Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to. But I suppose, to be honest, like, churches are a lot of the...
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Churches are nice. You know what I mean? It's a lovely build. Some of them are lovely buildings, so I can understand why, you know. And it, like, it's so multicultural now. Like, we don't just do Catholic funerals. Like, we've... There's Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Ireland... and then there's, you know, you will have some people that are, they're not religious, but they just don't really want to go to the church, and they would rather have a celebrant, you know. And that's, to be honest, it's the person's choice and it's what they want. Like, for me, I would prefer to have a service and have friends and family involved. And I don't know, she's like, could change my mind. I mean, that's at the moment, but you could change your mind. And what?
Natalie Cooney's going to go mad when she hears about Coolock.
What?
Natalie Cooney's going to die when she hears about Coolock. No, I swear to God. Like, she'll
be taking selfies.
Yeah, she'll be taking selfies. So she'll be,
that's going to be absolutely huge. Like, yeah, it's going to be absolutely gorgeous. So, yeah.
So she, like, again, like, do you ever see, like, what she did? So she went and got all these curtains or whatever she did, she got... And she put around, she decorated, and she'd like lights.
Was
and
that
everything.
Was for her? Was that for her
mom and for her granny? But then she,
that's
like,
actually really nice. Like, fair play to her for doing that. That's really nice.
And it was beautiful. And then
if my mother was listening to this, she'd be like, "You wouldn't be doing that."
No, either would I. And to be honest, I'd be like, "Oh my God!" And then she, no, she didn't rent about. She'd go, like, anyone, the neighbours that died, and my sister-in-law, her mom died. Her aunt died, and she went and brought that stuff to there, and she did it for them and all. And I was like, you should go into business doing something like that, going around and decorating houses.
Yeah.
But, like, do people go like that? Like, do you just get like, oh, that was a great idea, or that was a great funeral, or...
Like, as in, what the, you know.
Like, so if you were to walk into a room and it was all decorated, would you be like, Conor, this is lovely?
I don't know, I'd be like, that's lovely. Because I suppose, like, it's your your loved one. So, and the thing, like, a lot of people would want the person to be brought back to their house and repose there. Some people would repose in the funeral home. So I think it's nice, like, when, you know, even in the funeral home, I'd say to families, if you want to bring in photos or, you know, make it your, like, you're very welcome here, just make it be like you're at home, and they'd put stuff up that reminds them. Now, probably, they're probably not hanging curtains now. Yeah. That's probably a stretch too far. Yeah. But, like, that someone's been brought home, you want them, you want it to look nice. And, like, that cheer, like, you'll find a lot of people will want, you know, you'll see on the notice, they'll ask and people wear colourful clothing, especially sometimes if it's somebody young. Like, and the flowers will be full of colour. People want colour. They just, they don't want this, you know.
Yeah.
Like, morbid kind of. Now, some of the older people, maybe that's more old school, they want everyone wearing suits and, you know, like, look, it's an individual thing, isn't it?
People, like, they've gone, moved away from the black and they want to put on colour.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about, not the embalming process, but maybe it is the embalming process, like, you know, when you walk up to a coffin and someone's laid out and you're like, oh my God, they look great, or you're like, oh my God, they look terrible.
So it's about modern day medicine is great, but sometimes it can interfere with the embalming process. Like, but the to have an open, you would need to have embalming done to have an open coffin to preserve the body. Yeah, and then sometimes you will. So sometimes the person, if they've been very, very sick and dying for a while, I suppose just right when they die, they probably look really, really, really ill. And so sometimes then when they become embalmed and when they're dressed and the bit of makeup and the hair is done, a lot of families are like, and they'll again, they'll say, like, this can sound really silly, but, like, she looks really well. And and that's actually when we hear that feedback from a family, like, that's, you know, that means a lot to us, because it can be very, very hard. Like, and we do have to say to families, like, but the expectations, you know, sometimes they'd be giving you a photograph from 15 years ago and I'm like, I can't even look like that I did 15 years ago, do you know? And so you have to be realistic and say, look, because they were sick, or, you know, things like morphine or a lot of medications, it can kind of interfere with that kind of thing. But we try so hard, because it is the last time you're going to see somebody, and we want them to look, I suppose, that they're peaceful and asleep, really. And, you know,
do you remember, and our anniversary should be coming up soon, Niamh, that was on Instagram? I think you would have, because I think she followed you. And do you remember she died, lovely curly hair, and she had Abby, her daughter Abby. She died of a heart attack. I'll show you a picture
of it. It's terrible. Now, like, if my friend Lisa was listening to this, she'd be like, that's typical Grace. She'd be talking with someone and I'd say, no. She's like, Grace, she sat beside her in school.
She always used to reach. She had a bit of a following, like, and she was just her and her daughter. And
Was she like an influencer?
She was putting herself out there.
And she had a heart attack.
I think she'd heart trouble, and she.
I'm
had
sure
heart
if you
attack.
Showed me a picture, yeah. I'm just really bad with.
Yeah, and it was her and a little girl, and she'd always like reach out, and she'd always be like, "You're doing well," and everything. And then when she died, like, I just put it on Instagram because I found out she died, but I knew the people who I followed.
She was
following.
Young, was she?
She was in her 40s. Yeah, was she in her late 40s? I think, and. The thing was, I didn't know her. I think I met, do you know what? I got a PR box sent to me, and it was for curly hair shampoo, right? I said, I'll send it down to her, because she lived down in Maid, and I said to her, just send me your address. And that was the only, I didn't have any contact with her, and I sent it down to her, and then she died. So I said, you know what? I'll go to the funeral. And everyone was saying to me at the funeral, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I had to. And they were like, oh, you'd want to see her, Rebecca. She had her eyebrows and all on. She was massive. And, like, I was like, isn't that lovely? Like, the things that people
and
take
away. And we'd all sometimes, like, I'd say, you know, because it's probably going to get, I don't know what way we're going to be, like, I suppose a lot of older people that pass away are quite, you know, subtle with the makeup, but I'd be thinking, what are we going to be like? We're going to have filters over our faces. Like, this would be like, make sure I have a filter over me in the coffin. But, like, I'd say to, you know, we're not makeup artists or beauticians. Like, we can do the basic, but if you wanted, like, if anyone was asking for contouring and false, I'd be like, listen, you know, someone like a professional, like I wouldn't even be, couldn't even do my own makeup like that. So, and even like that with hair, you know, sometimes we'd be like, we'll tidy the hair, we'll wash the hair, we'll try and style it as best we can. But if you need like a particular haircut, you want layers cut into it or anything like that, again, we'd say we'd have to probably get a hairdresser to do that, like, you know. And then you have to remember someone's lying down as well, gravity and all of that. So,
like, that's,
but I suppose people don't think, you know, like if they're coming in and they're not thinking straight, like if they're showing you a picture of the person at a wedding and they want them to look like that, but you know, it's.
Because this, like, Paul's funny. I think one of, I think maybe even Lindsay, Paul's sister, did her hair. Like, you know, that she was, like, she was, that curl, you know, that curl. That
yeah,
curl.
Like, sometimes that, you know, can be hard to, yeah.
Like, yeah, you did her hair. Like, I couldn't even think of someone doing her hair. And then I had Jordan, and he got hired to do makeup in a funeral home. And we had a great chat about it. And he was like, I did my mum's makeup when she died. And he was like, I did our lashes, I did our eyebrows, I did our lip, I did everything.
I think it's actually, I know not everyone would be comfortable. And it's easy for me to say, like, obviously I'd be comfortable doing it. I know not everyone would be comfortable. But I think it's a really nice, especially if you see, like, it's a daughter and they're doing the mother's makeup. I actually think that's really nice. You're looking at me going, no. Do you not think it's a real, like, it's a bonding kind of thing? It's like your
bonding grace.
I love, like, God, now my mum is fit and healthy. Jesus, like, knock on wood. But, like, I'd like to make sure she looks, you know, my sister, if she's listening to this, she'd be like, she'd be ringing me mum now straight away. But, like, yeah, I think it's a nice little.
And I, like, when I was asking,
but I can understand if you didn't, but, you know, like, I get that.
If Paul's mum again, she's like, yeah, you better do me hair, and I'll to Paul's sister hair, and she's like, yeah, I'll have you massive, I'll have you massive in the coffin. Like, that's, it's so random, the things that go on in people's
and,
lives.
Like, I don't think, like, in a lot of countries, I don't think an open coffin, like, that's a strange thing. I think, was I watching now, I don't know, it was a while ago, it was the Kardashians or something, and Kim Kardashian said, she was like, oh my God, you know, like, guess what they had? Like, the coffin, the casket, as they call them, the casket was open. And they were like, wow. And I was like, that's the kind of norm here. Like, you know, there's some people would have it closed, but it's a very, and it is strange when you think about it. Like, I was only thinking about it the other day, and I was saying, I don't know if I want everyone coming in and staring at me, like, you know, because it's a nosy thing as well.
Yeah. And that's true. People are coming in just for a nose. They're coming in one to have a look at you dead in the coffin and see how you look so that they can tell Deirdre down the road. But also they're coming to look at the house. She's massive.
Yeah, the proposal's not till 3 and they're there, of course. Yeah. 3.
And like, even when my cousin died, we had 2 deaths this year, unfortunately. And when my cousin died, we went up to the house and they're like, go on and see him. Go on and
push, everyone's pushing each other in the door. Yeah, like,
and I'm like, I'll be in a minute. Now go on and see him. Isn't he gorgeous? And here I am. Like, you know, God, you know, no offence to any of my aunts or aunt, or to my aunt Lally, sorry. But like, they're like, not just
we're
him.
Doing a lot of apologies.
I know. But like, you're like, go in. And I'd be like, I'll go in a minute.
Yeah.
And then they're like, isn't he gorgeous? Look at him. Go, give him a kiss. I'm like, would you?
I know. I remember when I think it was one of my mum's aunts. I was very young, and I remember, touch her, go and feel how cold she is. I think I was probably about 12 or something. And I was like, and of course I was, you know, a kid. I was like, and I did. But like, it's this
probably fascination. Stays with you forever,
Probably why I'm a funeral director.
Why you're a funeral director, you're like, okay, yeah.
I mean, I didn't always want to be one, Jesus. Like, I think it's more of a profession for when you're a little bit older.
What took you into it? Like, what made you wake up? Did you wake up one day? Like, what was the plan?
I don't know exactly. I was in my last job. I worked in an optician's. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, there's a few families that have come in and they're looking at me and they're going, I know your face from somewhere. And I'm like, do you get your glasses? You know, Sullivan Optical. They're plugged for Sullivan Optical. That's where I know you're from. I'm sure they're looking at me going, this is very strange. I was working there, I think it was there 16 years, and I just had the itch to do, you know, when you get, like, I'll do something different. And I was kind of curious about funeral directing, but I was like, I don't know. And then there was no job. I'd never seen any jobs being advertised. I thought, sure, obviously you have to be in the family or it's who you know. Mm-hmm. I remember I was talking to, I don't know if you follow her, Tara, she's the navigation coach. She's lovely. And we were talking one day and she goes, I know a guy who's funeral director. I'll get him to give you a call. Now he's based in Sligo. And I was like, okay. And then before I knew, he was ringing me and we were chatting and he says, you're always welcome up to Sligo if you want to have a look, just see what it's like. And I did go up to Sligo. He had an induction day. I can't remember what he called it, for embalming and funeral directors and all. It was a day, a thing, like for just for the day. And so I drove up to Sligo and back in the one day because I was like, look, sure, if this is all what they call manifesting, Rebecca.
Did you manifest this
No,
job?
I did. I have to laugh this manifesting thing. Manifesting is like you have an idea and then you put it into action. And I'm like, but sure, is that not everything? Like, you know? But so I went and then I was like, there's no one really, like there was no jobs and I used to be always looking. And then the funny thing was that Stafford's advertised for a hair striver. And sure, I was like, okay, well, I can't be a hair striver, but I'll send my CV in because they might see it then.
Yeah.
So I sent, I says, look, I can't drive a hearse. I've never driven a hearse. I've never worked in a funeral home, but like I would like to. And then John, the general manager, gave me a call one day. Now, when I sent that off, I was kind of like, I'm not going to hear back from them. Mm. Then when I got the call, I was like, oh God, you know, when you feel like you start something and now you're like, now I'm in deep. So, and then he said to come in for a chat, which I did. And then they offered me the job. I said, yeah. And I do recall the day I was handing in my notice for my other job. I was like, what have I done? Oh my God, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And my boss in my old job, I remember saying to her, like, I started laughing because when I get nervous, I laugh. Mm-hmm. Like, I just have, my son's the same. And she says, what are you laughing? I said, Ciarán, I'm leaving. She was like, oh, she's like, where are you going? And I started laughing. And she said, oh my God, she said, you're going to Specsavers, aren't you? And I said, no. And she said, where are you going then? And she says, is it another optician's? And I said, no, I wouldn't do that to you. She goes, where are you going? And I says, to work in Stafford's. She was like, I think she probably thought the bakery or something. Yeah. She said, Stafford's. And I said, yeah, the funeral home. Ah, stop. She goes, you're winding me up. And then to be honest, everyone I told after that, they just all were laughing, going, no, there's no way. They said, you in a funeral home. And I remember my first day there, I was still thinking, like, what have I done? Because sometimes I can be a bit impulsive and make decisions. Do you know, we can make decisions depending on what mood we're in and then think, okay, you know, when you accept an invitation, like, will you come on this podcast? Okay. Yeah, sure.
I think I'm asking you about a year, am I?
And I'm like, Rebecca, listen, if you're having any, like, I don't have to come up this evening, you know, there's no problem. And then, sure, that was December 2019. And every day I was like, oh, Jesus, now, you know, I hope now this goes okay. And then I just loved it. And I actually started just before COVID. So I was being trained in how to be a funeral director and then everything kind of changed because obviously they've never been, most of them have never been, actually none of them would have worked as a funeral director during a pandemic.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of Glenroe fear every Sunday night or the Sunday scaries, whatever they call it. I remember I said Glenroe fear to my boss and he just didn't
get it.
He's like, what does that mean? But yeah, so I got through all that anyway and yeah.
What do you think about the English? As in, how do they keep their bodies for so long? That's unreal.
I was thinking they must be the least stressful funeral directors in the world. Yeah. Like, but I think that's too long. I don't know. I wonder there's obviously a reason. I should really research why it takes long. I don't know if it's something to do with, like, if someone needs a post-mortem, they have to wait until it's done before they can actually have the funeral. Whereas here, a postmortem would delay things, but not by long. Mm. And you can still have the funeral before the results come back.
And they're doing funerals on Saturdays now.
Well, they've done funerals on Saturdays. No, not on a Sunday, but actually outside of Dublin, they do them on Sundays.
I didn't know that. No, because I never really... Like,
yeah, no, every day except Sunday. Yeah.
So he'll go in and they don't do in the church overnight anymore.
You can. A lot of the churches you can now, but they did stop that during COVID because the tradition was that the removal the night before, everyone would shake hands at the end of it.
Oh yeah.
So they had to stop all of that. But now even before COVID, a lot of families weren't doing that because it was too much because you're having the wake or the repose or whatever you want to call it, and then you're going, so everyone's turning up for that, then you're going to the church the night before, then everyone's showing up for that, then you have the funerals, and it's a lot. It is a lot for a family. So some families still have it, but a lot of, like, we didn't have it for my dad. That was 10 years ago, and we just decided, no, it's too...
So you don't do the funeral mass anymore, and
No, you'd have the funeral, you'd have the, so you'd have the reposal usually the day before, and then the funeral the next morning then.
And you do the reposal in the church or?
No, in the funeral. A lot of people confuse the reposal with the removal.
Right.
So a reposal would also be called, some people call it a viewing or a wake, I suppose. So that's where you'd usually have it the afternoon or evening before. A lot of people would go to that if they can't go to the funeral mass the next day, or vice versa. So it just gives you a chance to pay your respects and have a good ale natter. It's nearly like a night out sometimes, for people.
Like some of the funerals now, I'm looking at them like, I am like, that is just all mad. Whereas I know you just want to get blind drunk and probably like just forget it, you know what I mean? But like some of the funerals now are just incredible. Like you see the horse-drawn carriage, you see the huge display of flowers. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's a big thing. I suppose it's like, it's nearly like planning for a wedding, but you don't have, you have a limited amount of time. Like, it's amazing how fast you can actually organise something like that, like a funeral. It's fascinating how you can have it organised. Like, if someone came in, geez, I didn't know what that was.
My kid's upset.
If someone passed away, for example, on the Sunday, the family came in to us on the Monday, a lot of the times the funeral would be over and done with by the Wednesday. And it's, I actually noticed that with Irish people, like, it's, they want to have it done as quickly as possible. They don't want to wait. I don't know how they wait that long in England, but they probably don't have a choice. But even
like, you know, and they say, like, if someone dies on the Friday and then they're reposed in the home all over the weekend.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. It is a lot, though. I think it's a lot for a family, but I suppose, like, it's up to the family, but... And then I suppose you have to be careful in the, if it's real, like if we're having a heat wave or something, because most of our homes are not equipped with air conditioning. You know, you'll hear someone saying, we'll just open the window when I'm not getting, it's probably hotter outside than it is inside. Yeah. But so sometimes we would have to, you know, say 3 nights might be too much.
Yeah.
It is a lot. But I suppose traditionally from, you know, people from the country, that's the thing. I think my uncle was a few days, and it's a big shindig nearly, like, you know,
Who's your pal in work, like, who gets you through like the hard time?
So I do have to mention Sheila. Sheila loves your podcast. She's the only one besides one or two of my bosses, she's the only one I told I was doing this. So I'd have the chats with Sheila, and there'd be a few of the others, like, I'd get along with, we'd have the crack, you know. And
what's a Christmas party like?
Oh Jesus, we won't. I'll have to talk about that off. Great crack. Like, we really do, just like, you wouldn't be talking about work or anything. It's great crack. Loads of fun. The last one was, I mean, we had to cancel a few during COVID. The last one was karaoke. Love karaoke. Love it. I think this year it's a casino night. Yeah, so we do have, you know.
I imagine going in, like, there's a program on Netflix, if you're ever looking for something, just, it's called Superstore. And they go in to, she goes into training, like, at the airport to do training on the retail. Yeah. And they go into an embalming one instead. And, like, they had, it's all men, like, you know, standing there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, and they're like, me and mom. And then they go in and do their training, and the girl comes in and she's like, all the guys.
Is this American?
Yeah.
And is it real or is it
no? What are they about? Superstore on Netflix. It's very good. Yeah. We've watched it a million times. And she comes in, she goes, hey girl, she goes, the embalming guys want to bring us out for karaoke and drinks. And they told her to show us the dead bodies, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, this is just like gas. Like, that.
Like, I'd say if you walked into one of our parties, you'd be like, they're funeral directors. Because this is, everyone probably thinks we're sitting around a table with rosary beads, like, you know, saying a decade at the rosary. Because everyone assumes as well, if you're a funeral director, like, you're really religious, like, you know. And sure, I wouldn't be, and, you know, it's just, it's, we're, I suppose we're the in between, like, you know, we're there for the family. Like, you have to be, like, you have to have the right balance of being compassionate and sensitive, but also being efficient. Because at the end of the day, I can't believe I use that. I hate that expression. But at the end of the day, the family want you to have everything done and that it goes well. Now, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be the odd time there'll be a hiccup here or there or whatever. But in general, everything goes smoothly. And that's what you... So you have to have the personality for it as well. Like, you know, and I mean, I wouldn't want to walk into a room and, you know... Someone looking at me with a face like, oh. You know, like,
that's what the priest is there for.
Oh, you said that, Rebecca. You'd actually make a really good funeral director.
Would I?
Yeah, I think you'd be really good.
God, I could
get the cruise and doesn't work out
this, you know, cruise business and move into something else. Imagine that people be like, what? I'm like, you've gone from the high seas to this. But
yeah, you never know.
Can I ask you just like a real question that everyone would probably want to know, like, for people who can't afford a funeral, is there support?
There is. So social welfare, you can apply for a grant from them. That's obviously means tested. There is, I think it's like a widower's grant if you have dependable children. I think it's up until the age of 18, you can apply for that if a spouse passes away. Or if they're, I think, between 18 and 22 and they're in college, you might be eligible as well for that. There's some people who, with the credit union, if they have, but I think it depends on the type of credit union account you have. There is something in there that
they
if
cover.
You die, like there's, yeah, some kind of cover. Or a lot of people would, you can have do, it's called an advanced funeral. So we would have people that would come in, kind of set up what they want. So say, your mother or somebody, and they'd pay money off every week and they'd come in and say, this is the church we want to go to, we want a burial here, these are the kind of flowers I want to go for, we want a singer and a musician, we want, you know, XYZ, and then we'd set that up, and then they'd pay money off. You have to just keep paying money off every week. It's a good way of, or you could just set up your own. I'm sure, like, probably the credit union is probably the best place. Set up your own savings and just make sure that a family member knows.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's mad that they can actually go in to Stafford's and be like, so I want, dear, is it is 1,000 euro and I'm going to say, or 500 or 10 euro. And I'm going to come in.
It's 20 quid a week. Every week. They just keep paying it off every single week. It's just, I think that generation are just more kind of, they're cuter than us. We're, I think we're dope sometimes. They're just spending money here, there and everywhere. And they're always, they've always been, I suppose they come from a time when they didn't have money for just anything.
Yeah.
And they always had to save and watch where their pennies were coming from. And that stayed with them. And so this is their next kind of, they don't want to leave a load of debt with their children. And, you know.
Ma,
so,
if you're listening. tell me about gravestones. Like, do you, are you using, on how soon after just kind of gravestone coming down and
so
all
that's
that?
Not something, so there is like we have people that we would recommend, you know, a stonemason, and that would be down the road. You'd have to let the grave settle, or if there's already a headstone on it, you could just add an inscription to it. But that would be like, you know, a memorial place, or in some of the cemeteries they have their own, or we'd have a few that we'd recommend. And they'll do whatever you want. Like, geez, they cast, you can go online, sure, they've, you can get big monuments now and stuff. Well, it depends where the burial is. Sometimes they only allow certain types of
some of the headstones when you go through the, do you ever go, like, do you know, like Natalie again, right, she goes to the grave for a walk around, like, you know what I mean, she'd be like, I'll go down to the graveyard.
She'd probably make a terrible funeral director. She'd never be in the office. I'd be like, where's she gone?
She's following a hearse. Down the road
she'd have seen a hearse going by there. She's gone after it.
Isn't there some people say she's a hearse, what is it,
there is a name,
a hearse chaser or something,
there's a name for somebody that's fascinated. I remember finding this came up online before, and I can't, it was like a, started with a T. I'll have to look it up.
Stop,
now.
Look it up.
And it's a person that loves going to cemeteries.
Yeah.
But like, I know a girl, I don't know if you've had Tinchy Peg, do you follow her?
I used to follow her, but I don't follow her anymore. I followed her off my own page or something like that. I know you love her. Yeah,
she's mad into all, yeah, paranormal and all that stuff, and she's always saying, like, I'd love to spend the night in the cemetery. I think she thinks I'd love to as well, and I'm like, absolutely no, because I'd feel like I was working overtime. Yeah. So no. But there is a name for people that love going to, but you do find, like, even when you go to someone's funeral, you do see everyone walking by the headstone. Sorry, I'm leaning away from the mic. People are walking by the headstone and they're reading, "She was only 24. There's four of them in there. Like, it's nearly like, do you know, it's a real nosy kind of, do you know what? It's nosiness as well. It's like RIP.ie, like, do you know, like, as I'd be joking, when I started in Stafford, they said to me, "You won't be able to ring me up now anymore and say, guess who died? Because I probably already know." She's like, because they love that. Like, my mum had really gone, "Do you know your man around the corner?" And I'm like, "No, you do. You went to school with his granddaughter." "I didn't, I don't." "You do know, you do." And then she'd say something and I'd say, "Ah, no, that'll be, if that was sudden now, they'd have to do." "Yeah, yeah. No, no, what'll happen is she's telling me then," gas. Yeah. Like, they love, so they used to look in the newspapers, you
know. Is that gone?
There's, mostly people put it up on RIP.ie. There is the odd person that will stick it in the back of the newspaper. It can work out expensive enough. It's probably between three and 400 to put it in the newspaper for a small little... Most people go on to RIP. RIP.ie is better because you have the photo is there, the links are there, you can type in your condolences. Like, but I suppose someone maybe older that, you know, or it's a tradition, maybe it's just something that,
come here,
you know.
The webcam now.
Oh, I know.
Jesus Christ, it's so popular.
Yeah, that'll stay now. That they won't, I'd say, get rid of that, because that all stemmed from COVID, people not being able to go to the church and being able to watch
who was that, the church, or was that do you think that was? A funeral director went, "Oh, do you know what, we'll film that now."
I'd say, I actually don't know who came up with the idea. I don't actually know. Wait, is it me, boss? That was me.
It was me.
I can't believe you didn't know. Sorry now if it was, but I don't know. I suppose maybe one church did it, and then they all kind of followed suit, and then there was a lot of companies that were getting in on the live stream then, and but they're probably now, most of the churches have the webcams, all the crematoriums have the webcams. There's cameras everywhere now. Sure, it's like you can't get away with anything.
I watched my cousins, because I had to go to work, and I watched my cousins online in the hotel room, and I thought, geez, I'm never doing this again, because this is actually awful. Like, I'm sitting, I had a meeting like at 7 o'clock, ran across to the hotel to sit and do it, and like, I was like, and then I had to run back to the ship for the meeting, and I was like, this is nuts that I'm sitting here on my own.
And then
watching
some people
this.
Want a recording of it,
yeah.
Which, I don't know now if I'd want a recording of a wedding, but a funeral, I don't know if it'd be something. I don't know. Maybe people think they do, and then down the road they're like, why did I ask for that? Because then, I don't know, it's a bit...
When I listened to my cousins, I could hear people yapping though.
Do you know what? I have noticed that. Sometimes if I organise a funeral and maybe say it's a singer I haven't used maybe before, or something, or I'm just curious how they... Because I want them to sound good.
Stop, Grace. Are you going to say what I think you want to
say? In, and then you can hear them like, I told you that. No, I didn't say it. Like, and I'd be thinking, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Did they know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they realise that it's on, and I don't know.
Yeah, because you can hear, and like, I could hear a woman saying, look, that there she is. Look, to see them. And here I was, and I could hear them saying, who's that? That's her sister.
Yeah,
that's her sister. And I was like,
day I did hear was a singer musician, and they were, it was a bit of, it sounded like it could have gotten heated. It didn't now, but there was. It was a bit,
And I was like, oh my God. So then I went to another funeral after that, and I was sitting there, and I was like, don't open your mouth because you're on camera.
Yeah, because you can even sometimes hear the priest saying to the, you know, the sacristan or whatever, saying, no, put that over there. No, put it over there, down there. Like, yeah.
So it's like you have to be really careful.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. One of these days now, someone is probably going to say something that, you know. But
I wouldn't say because of
what they read. Yeah, because it's like there's a lot of funny vids. There's actually one that does the rounds now, because you know me, I love good funny video. And it was the first one I saw was two brothers, and they have us at our sister's funeral, and they have their heads down, and then you hear the eulogy, and she was a lovely girl. She was always had a smile on her face, and then you see the two brothers looking at each other, kind of making a face, going, "Do you know it's true? Everyone talks really well of the dead." Like, but I suppose the links for it's great for anyone that's abroad that can't come home. It's handy that way. And well, it depends what country you're living in. They're probably getting up at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
To get a funeral.
But yeah,
what gets you through a bad funeral? As in, you know, like,
I just keep like as in. So do you mean as in like a really sad, like something that's. I suppose like there was one. I don't, obviously I won't give too much detail because I'm always afraid someone could be listening. I don't upset anyone, but like it was a very young child, and I did find that quite hard. But I just kept saying, look, because I suppose I've two little boys at home, and I was like, you know, it's you're getting to go home. You need. I just kind of try and be like, you just need to stay on top of everything, and you're getting to go home to your kids, and you just need to, like, it is hard. It is hard. And you can't, even I'd say the hardest person, someone with a heart of stone, when it comes to a child, they just, you know, I don't know how, I actually don't know how anyone, and even, do you know what's actually really sad as well? Even an adult child, when you see a parent has to bury, which would happen quite a lot, that's really sad as well, you know, because I always think they're probably going through photos of when they were little kids, and, you know, it's really, really, it's just really difficult. And I suppose it does make you appreciate what you have. Now, in saying, Jesus, like, I do have a whinge and a moan and give out stupid things, like, but it does actually make you realise, like, you know, if you're kind of worrying about something, you could get a funeral of someone and, you know, it was sudden, and I'd be thinking, oh my God, like, your problem is just so, like, insignificant. Like, you know, you'd be grand. And like, you would see, especially, you know, there'd be women, like, I'm in my 40s, and, you know, there'd be families coming in. The mother has died from cancer, and they've little kids. And, like, you can, because you can really relate to that, because she's of the same age, and, you know, and so stuff like that does really give you a kick up the you know what, don't swear, but you know what I mean. So that's the only way to, and then maybe a glass of wine when you get home. And
you used an analogy earlier on about a movie. Tell me about it. Do you remember what you said?
What was it again? Sorry, it was. Oh yeah, it's not what you said. So I have no issues talking about death, funerals. I am like, you know, here comes fun Bobby. But in the Barbie movie, there's a scene, they're in Barbie land. Everyone's happy. Nothing ever goes wrong. No one has any problems. Everyone's beautiful. And they're all dancing. There's a dance scene. And then Barbie suddenly says something like, do any of you ever think about dying? Or does anyone ever think about death? And then the music stops and everyone just stops and everyone's looking at her. And she's just like, never mind. And that's like me nearly on an eye. Like, I think nothing of it. I actually find it really interesting, and I don't find it scary. Now, I don't want to die, obviously. Like, I want to live a long and healthy life, and but the whole thing around it is, we all have, sure, it's a morbid fascination. You'd be on the M50 and there'd be traffic and there's an accident. And the minute you get past the accident, the traffic's flying. It's because every single person is slowing down because they want to see something. They want to see it, and then they don't want to see it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just this morbid kind of, it's the same when people coming in to see someone. They're probably disappointed if it's a closed coffin. But like, you know, it's just this morbid fascination. Like, it's very Irish as well, I think. And people love, especially, you know, older people, you'll hear them saying, guess who died? Guess. It's like a game. I'm thinking, this poor person has died. And you're like, it's all exciting, you know. And they want to be the first to say, oh, I was around there at the house now. And oh God, it was very, they're all very quiet. quiet they were, and the windows were open, and you know, for the spirits and all that. So, yeah.
But you enjoy it?
I do like it. Now, I do have my days, don't get me wrong, like any job. But I do. It's interesting. And I think if I was doing something else, I'd probably be thinking, why didn't I stick? You know what I mean? Like, and I mean, from the day that I started, I was thinking, I don't know if I made the right choice here. I don't know. But sure, look, I'm there nearly 4 years now. Mm. So like, you know, and it is good to see. The way more women are coming in now, and I just think it's not as a morbid kind of thing anymore. Like, as in, you know, people are becoming a little bit more open to it, and it's not as scary. And I suppose that's what I'm with the social media page, I suppose, with Instagram, that's what we're trying to.
And what is it, just Stafford's? You know,
Stafford's Funeral Homes.
Yeah. Give it a follow.
Yeah, I'll go and follow it, please. If you're fed up with makeup tutorials and people trying to sell you loads of stuff, it's not, as I said, it's not for, I'm not trying to promote the business. It's just, you know.
Just to make it easier for people. As I said, you just said it with your dad. Yeah. You're like, what do we do?
Hadn't a clue. And like that, you know, the way you were saying, like, people asking, like, oh, this is a silly question. And it's never a silly question. It's probably a question loads of people have asked, but, you know, does the coffin get cremated, or, you know, are they really, like, it's stuff, if people have knowledge, if they're educated about it, it won't be as scary. I think when people are hearing stories, that's what frightens them. And look, nobody wants to die, but unfortunately, we have all dealt with it, or we're all going to deal with it. For a lot of people, it's the first time they've had to, like, you've probably been to many funerals, but you haven't had to arrange one. So for a lot of people, I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way. Luckily, hopefully it'll be a parent, you know, the order of it won't be someone younger. But like, it's just to so people are more clued in. They know what's going on, and, you know. Because you don't want to, it's the last time you're saying goodbye to someone, it's the last hurrah, whatever you want to call it. You don't want to look back and think, like, we didn't know what we were doing, or, like, we shouldn't have done that, or, you know. So I suppose it's something just for people to think about.
And on that note, we leave it there, Grace.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Thank you. See, after all that now,
I know. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, so thank you.
Thanks, Grace.
Thanks.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.